Oh, snaps!
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Hey, everybody. It is Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, the CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business and we're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble. We are considered, as Dr. Judy would say, your one-stop shopping. Yes, we are. Go to Raw Dog Food and Company where you can find complete grinds, okay? But we have the best treats. We have bones. We have homeopathic professional-grade supplements. And what do we have? A top-notch pet health team like Dr. Judy Jasek, who is with me on the podcast today. Good morning, Dr. Jasek.
Good morning. And you have brains, so we can all be smarter.
I know. Oh, now I'm going to gross you out this early in the morning, but this is the truth. Yesterday, one of my top guys who works at the warehouse, he's amazing, but he always brings dogs in these like treats. So he's like, okay, today I'm bringing in brains or the pork brains, right? So he was bringing them in. He has two Germans. We have two Germans. Do you know what he did? He literally, I do not recommend this. I just want to preface this. He took a bite of it himself. I said, he literally took a bite of the raw brains. And he was like, yeah, has a little fruity taste to it.
With slight overtones of chocolate and, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, look, brains are a delicacy in a lot of parts of the country. I have a brain surgeon friend and in Cherry Creek, and he said, yeah, you know, a lot of people eat brains. I've eaten brains. So anyway, but I wouldn't suggest you just eat them out of the tub as a human being. Okay, so I'm just going to say that right there.
He might be smarter, though. Or he might start oinking. I don't know, because they have big brains. I don't know which way that'll go.
Right. Hey, listen, have you heard that people always want to know about the coronavirus, what's happening in the dog front? Well, today an article came out, and all of a sudden I started getting emails that said, a German Shepherd in New York has been diagnosed with the coronavirus, and he was experiencing some upper respiratory issues. So they did the test. One of his owners had tested positive for COVID. They're still saying there's no reason to get rid of your pets, you know, just because they might show some respiratory issues. So he's now joining a lion, a tiger, and two cats on the USDA's list of animals that have tested positive for the coronavirus. Not very many pets, considering how many people have been tested. So
there just aren't enough pets testing positive compared to the number of people that this is, likely a problem, or that pets are carriers, or people are, you know, spreading it back and forth, you know, with their pets. Plus, you know, and I know this from lots of years of experience, these tests are not always 100%. And there could be cross-reactivity between viruses. You know, they develop these tests pretty quickly to test for this virus. You know, this virus has only been around since January, and they really started reporting on it, probably a little bit before that, but less than a year. So they've pushed these tests out pretty quickly. And is there potentially some cross-reactivity between the COVID-19 infecting people and some other viruses in pets? I mean, I think that's a possibility. And just sometimes you could get a false positive on any test like this can have a false positive. So I think we want to pay attention, you know, be aware of the data, but there's just so few cases compared to the number of human cases that I'm not concerned about, you know, pets playing a important role in spreading the COVID back and forth to people.
don't run and get rid of your dogs, peeps, just because right. this one one article comes out. Okay. Perfectly safe. I have a German Shepherd. I have two. And I probably am not going to wear a mask while I'm around my Germans. Freaks them out. They're like, what are you doing? You look weird.
Why can't we see your face?
Although I will tell you, the same guy that ate the pig brains, he bought me a German Shepherd face mask. So my little mask that I wear around is German Shepherds. Okay. So we always like to talk about some issues that come up and some responses that we hear from the veterinarian community. And what's great is that I have you here and I can ask you if you agree. So we have a pet parent who took their little 7-month-old puppy to the vet. The vet made this statement, Dr. Jasek, and I want to ask you what your thought is on this. Let's see if I can get the exact words. They said that the dog was impacted all the way up to its stomach. It was impacted, obviously, with poop, all the way up to his stomach. Is that possible?
I would say no. I would say that dog wouldn't be alive if it was impacted all the way up to its stomach. I mean, first of all, the stool actually forms, you know, in the colon. That's where it dries out. You know, the ingesta, you know, after the food is digested in the small intestine, it goes into the colon, and that's where the water is absorbed. That's one of the main jobs of the colon, is just to remove water. And so we get a formed stool. When we have diarrhea, things move through too quickly and the colon doesn't have time to do that. So in the small intestine, normally everything in there is liquid. It's not formed. So to be backed up all the way through the whole small intestine, I would say physiologically is impossible. So I don't know whether that was a misinterpretation by the pet parent or the pet or the veterinarian was perhaps exaggerating to make a point. I don't know. I had been in touch with this client prior to this, but I haven't heard from her since, because she said she had checked in with her after I talked to her, and she said she had changed the diet, added in some blends with a little more vegetable matter, and that just seemed to help tremendously. And I was like, okay, well, the pet's better. I don't know. I feel like there's definitely more to the picture with this pet. But she tried that, seemed to work. I'm like, well, the pet's doing well. But now it sounds like we've got problems again. So I don't think the pet could have been impacted all the way up, and even a serious impaction, even through the whole colon, is pretty rare. It's pretty rare. I'd love to see those x-rays and see what exactly they were seeing on those films.
This is a 7-month-old puppy. And she took him in to the vet. They did a physical exam, x-rays, an ultrasound. They gave him IV fluids and 2 enemas. and they were telling her that they were doing all this in hopes to avoid surgery. Why would you need to have surgery? I mean, would an impaction be that bad that you got to have surgery?
It's possible, but it's extremely rare. And I would say extremely, extremely rare in dogs. You know, cats can get this megacolon, where the colon loses its ability to contract. So they literally can't push the stool out. And it just sits in there, and the colon stretches out, and they get so impacted that sometimes you do need to go in and remove it. Even that's extremely rare in a 7-month-old puppy. You know, the dog hasn't been alive long enough to have that serious of an impaction, because usually that happens over months. It doesn't just happen overnight, because they're pooping a little and, over time. So it takes time for it to build up to the point that it, you know, would be surgical. So, you know, I would love to see those records and those x-rays and see exactly what they were talking about, because it does not add up. And if they were talking surgery on this dog, unless they showed, you know, like a foreign body or something like that, like, is there something else going on? Maybe the dog has a partial blockage because of a foreign body. He ate something. It's a 7-month-old puppy, you know, swallowed a toy, and we've got something else sitting in there that's preventing normal intestinal function, you know, something like that. But it doesn't sound like they mentioned anything like that. They're just saying, this is a stool impaction. So how did this dog get this stool impaction just from food? You know, we've seen dogs, you know, they get a little, you know, some dogs with the higher bone blends, they'll get a little bit harder stool. And sometimes we need to, you know, loosen that up a little bit by adding in more tripe or adding in more organs. You know, we just change the percentages, but that's just a transient thing. We observe what's going on with the dog, and then we vary the proportions in what they're eating. But I know there's more to the picture with this dog. I'm not sure what it is, but an impaction all the way up to the stomach, no, that's not possible.
Yeah, and I do know when I look at some of the orders. So the PMR blends, okay, PMR blends, PMR plus, higher bone, you know, it's going to be anywhere from that 12 to 15% bone in the blends. And if you are adding in a lot of extra bone, duck feet, duck heads, turkey necks, you've got to look at how much bone you are adding to the diet. Puppies, you know, don't need in excess of 20%, okay, because they can't excrete the calcium yet. So let's not go over that. Let's not go crazy. But I would say if you find that your stools are too hard, and yes, drying white is perfectly fine. There's no preservatives. There's no additives in that. So don't freak out when you see the dog's poop dry white. It's perfectly fine. But what I would always suggest, Dr. JC, before I say add sweet potatoes or pumpkin, which I do not like, I don't like all that sugar. I would say, let's add some tripe. Let's add another 10% organs. We have standalone organs. Let's do the lower bone, the 80-10-10 blends. There are a lot of things that we can do to tweak the diet without adding in sugar, without adding in, you know, medications and having to go to the vet. You know, for an enema. So,
right. It's all, every pet responds differently. And, you know, when people go into their conventional vet and then they're told, oh, how bad raw is, that's just the vet's knee-jerk reaction because they don't know and they're not educated. But we, you know, like you were saying, we can tweak these blends. And, you know, sometimes we need to, if one, you know, formulation isn't working for pets, sometimes we need to make some modifications. Doesn't mean that raw is bad or raw is making the dog sick. And you know what? I would encourage pet parents to seek some advice, you know, reach out to me or reach out to, you know, Dee Dee or Neely or somebody and get some advice on how to best modify the diet for your pet, because we have a lot of experience doing this. And you know, sometimes you have I see a lot of knee-jerk reactions in pet parents. Let me just try this. Let me just try that. And they're changing. They're trying something different every day. And we don't even know what's working and what's not. And if you're new to feeding raw, you know, you may not be making the best choices. You might read something online and make a choice that may not be the best option for your pet. So, you know, reach out and get some professional advice, because you're going to have a much better chance of resolving the problem a lot more quickly and saving yourself additional vet visits.
Well, speaking of the veterinary world and possibly what's causing some confusion, I was reading this article today, and the article is called The Raw Truth, not to be confused with the raw dog food truth, okay? But it talks about how the American Kennel Club, the American Veterinary Medical Association, and other groups are discouraging pet owners from feeding raw diets, unprocessed meat, eggs, and milk. They do not like it. They say, no, no, no. It can carry pathogens, E. coli, Listeria, Salmonella, and it can make you sick. This is what I thought was hilarious. So there is a professor of clinical nutrition at the Department of Veterinary Medicine. Her name is Jennifer Larson. And she says that, you know, that we are encouraging this romanticizing of nature that compares dogs to wolves. And they are saying dogs are not wolves. They are no longer wolves. And I'm like, well, what is it that made dogs no longer wolves? I'm curious. So they're saying through the thousands of years and generations of becoming domesticated, dogs are omnivores who evolved to eat what people eat. I totally disagree with that.
I would ask the question, where is this information coming from? Because if you look at the genetics, dogs are, you know, almost genetically identical to wolves, with some, you know, obviously phenotypical differences in how they look. Like a Chihuahua does not look like a wolf, but the genetics are still very similar. And if you look at their digestive tract, start with their teeth. What are their teeth and their mouths and their jaws best equipped to eat? They have these, you know, long canines, which are for grabbing onto prey. They have these shearing teeth in the back. They don't have grinding teeth. Herbivores, if you look at a cow or a horse, they have these big flat teeth that are designed to grind vegetable matter. Dogs don't have that. Dogs are designed to wolf down their food. No pun intended, but eat it fast. You know, like, you know, they gotta, you know, if the wolf pack kills an elk, they gotta eat fast before the grizzly bears come, you know? So they're designed to put a whole bunch of food in their stomach really fast and then go lay down and sleep off their food coma, you know, and let it all digest. They're not designed to be grinding vegetable matter all day long, and they don't even have the enzymes and the digestive tract that's appropriate to break down plant cell walls. Plant cell walls are actually pretty hard to digest. And that's why herbivores have a fermentation process. They have some part of their gut that is going to ferment and break down those plant cells. The dog and cat digestive tracts, the carnivorous digestive tracts, are much shorter. And the food is meant to go move through quicker and be absorbed, you know, more quickly. And the animal products, you know, these raw, fresh products, those are the substances that can be absorbed quickly. When you start feeding a lot of carbs, especially your processed, your grains, your, you know, high sugar stuff, your potatoes and lentils and beans and the other grains, that stuff is not designed to be digested that quickly. I mean, they can't do it. So when I hear that they are adapted to be omnivores, like show me the evidence of that. Because if you look at a human mouth, we are omnivores. And like our back teeth, we do have some grinding teeth. You know, our back teeth are flatter, you know, where we can eat plant material. You know, we kind of have a hybrid between the carnivore mouth and the herbivore mouth. So if you start to look at dogs, and, you know, come on, kibble's been around for 80 years. You know, animals don't evolve that quickly. You know, what are you talking, 10 or 12, I don't know, something generations in that amount of time? Nothing evolves that quickly. Things evolve over thousands of years. And that it didn't happen in 80 years. And I don't know where that evidence is coming from, but I would sure like to ask that question and say, well, what are you basing that claim on?
Right. And this is AKC's chief veterinarian officer, Jerry Klein, who's making this statement. He says this: wolves are carnivores. Their gastrointestinal gastrointestinal system can process raw meat, and they can absorb nutrients differently than dogs do, and they fight potential pathogens better. These wolves do, he said. But dogs are better than wolves at digesting starches, key nutrients in grains like wheat and rice. What?
Yeah, and again, where is that coming from? What evidence do they have? How do they even know that? I mean, to me, that's just propaganda, because how can you even prove that? I mean, just look at our pet health. Are our pets getting healthier? No, they're getting sicker. We're seeing more and more and more disease. And, you know, what has been staying the same? What have we been doing, you know, to take care of our pets? Well, we're feeding these kibble diets. So that's what I look at. Okay, pets are getting sicker. We need to be doing something differently. Why are we keeping things the same if we're seeing our pets getting sicker? We need to be making, you know, some changes in our recommendations. So if pets are so adapted to digesting starches and this is so nutritionally beneficial, why are we seeing cancer rates go through the roof and you know, autoimmune disease and all these other diseases? Why are pets getting so much sicker if this is such a great diet for them?
Exactly. And this article really is encouraging pet parents to feed what their vet recommends. What do the vets typically recommend? Their prescription diets. Again, we want to ask the question, what in that diet is prescription? So by the very name prescription, you would think that you could only get it through them, which is true. That brand you can only get through the veterinarian world. However, what in that brand is prescription? We've done the webinars on it. There's nothing in it that's prescription. And I will say this, that you're absolutely right that the digestive issues, the cancer, the obesity, the IBS, the IBD has all skyrocketed while dogs are on a kibble diet. And all too often, the primary treatment is to, you know, offer up drugs with dangerous side effects that hamper the immune system. And these prescribed diets that they have are very high in fiber, they contain poor protein sources, and they're heavily processed. So when you do all that, you're really just masking. You're masking the symptom. And this is not going to heal the dog. So we have to start first at what you always say, Dr. JC. You have to start with the diet. The diet is the thing that we have to start with in order to begin healing these dogs. We can add, you know, some supplements and some herbs and things like that. But the first thing you've got to do is stop masking the symptoms. And how often do you see that, Dr. Jasek? You see that a dog goes in, that maybe they put him on some hydrolyzed protein diet, and then they're going to give them some, you know, drugs, and they don't get better that way. How often do you see that?
Yeah, right. Oh, all the time. All the time. And you know, the reason I believe so strongly that feeding raw is appropriate is because I see pets improve all the time. I change pets to raw feeding all the time. And I'm almost at the point in my practice that, like, I don't think I could really work with somebody that just insists on feeding kibble, because I know that our results are going to be limited. I'm not going to be able to do the best I can for the pet, because if they're feeding kibble, and that's a big dilemma for me. Fortunately, most people that come to me are willing to make, you know, to make changes because they've seen their pet get sicker. But yeah, the medications further disrupt digestion. And one I see all the time are the antacids, the Pepcid or the omeprazole. There's more omeprazole being, like, you know, the dog's on Pepcid and they're not getting better, so let's put them on omeprazole instead. Well, it's pretty much doing the same thing. It's just a little stronger. But you're reducing that acid content in the stomach that the dogs have to have to digest their food and kill pathogens. This is why dogs can be scavengers and pick up things outside and not get sick. I mean, do you think your dog doesn't pick up stuff with bacteria on it like all the time? They got their noses down there on the ground sniffing where other dogs have been. They're exposed to all kinds of bacteria all the time. And their bodies are designed, when they're healthy, they're designed to eliminate pathogens. And then there's, you know, there's a lot of bacteria in the environment that are not harmful and can even be beneficial. But when we start giving these medications, so we're disrupting normal digestion and we're disrupting the microbiome, because lots of dogs are started also on antibiotics, you're damaging the digestive process. And this is why sometimes it takes a while in some pets to get them transition to raw. I mean, most transition pretty quickly, but on pets that have had, you know, chronic issues and have been on lots of medications, it does take some time. So don't give up on it just because you're a week in and your dog maybe vomited once or twice or has some soft stools, because we're healing the gut, we're healing the digestive tract, and we're rebalancing the microbiome, and we have to get the digestive tract back to normal function, and that takes time. And so it doesn't mean that the food is making your dog sick if things just don't go beautifully in 48 hours. This is a healing process in a lot of dogs, and it does take time. So again, come back to us with your questions and let us help you through the process and help support your dog through the process. And don't give up just because things don't look, you know, wonderful 72 hours after you, you know, start your dog on raw.
Yeah, I think that is one of the issues that I do see, is that people want this immediate transformation. And I have to say, well, how long did you have crappy food in the diet? You know, we've got to get that crappy food out and start kickstarting everything else. But listen, almost all, I would say all commercial dog foods, whether they are premium, okay, whether they're hypoallergenic or prescription diets, they're high in fiber, they're high in grains, and they tend to burden the dog's, you know, digestion, which can cause other problems. And so when you've got gassiness or, you know, problems with the intestinal tract, now you go back into the vet and they're going to give you some sort of antibiotic because, you know, they're going to say the dog has some sort of stomach issues. And, you know, certainly, but my point is this: you're on a hamster wheel when you do that, Dr. Jasek, a hamster wheel. And I think what people don't realize is that raw diets are highly digestible. And that is one key issue that people don't make this connection. Highly digestible protein, that means the dog can use it. They're able to utilize it. Even dogs with digestive issues, Dr. Jasek, should still have fat in their diet, right? They should still have fat in their diet, but fat needs to be highly digestible, not fat in kibble. Highly digestible is animal fat. You love animal fat, Dr. Jasek. That's one of the things that I know you use a lot with your cancer patients. But even these dogs with loose stools, they need to have fat in their diet, but it needs to be highly digestible, something that they can break down and utilize. That's why you see the poops get so much smaller. They're using all the food.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's one of the biggest changes. And if you know, pet parents look at nothing else, look at your dog's stool. Like it's tiny compared to what you would get on a kibble stool, because they're not able to absorb those ingredients, those starchy ingredients that they're supposed to be so well adapted to digesting. They can't even digest and absorb them. And the other really dangerous thing about kibble, you know, not only is kibble not nutritionally appropriate, it's toxic. You put fat in a food product and then you process it at these high temperatures, it becomes rancid. And they're not even using good quality fats to begin with. If they use polyunsaturated fats that are very unstable, and you expose them to heat and light and other environmental things, those fats break down and they become rancid. And you don't want to be feeding those to your dogs, because not only can they not utilize them, but they are literally toxic. And so you're further damaging the gut. You're damaging the gut lining, feeding these foods. And again, the longer the dog's been eating these foods, the more time it's going to take. You know, in some of the Chinese medicine coursework I've done, they say that for every year a dog has had a certain condition, plan on a month of treatment to get it better. So if your dog's been eating kibble for 5 years, it might take some time. Now, it may not always take 5 months, but it might take some time, might take a month or so, because they're also going to detox. You know, and one of the ways that pets detox is through the gut. So when they get diarrhea, or, you know, or do a little vomiting, it may just be purging. Their body is just like getting all that crap out of the system before it can even appropriately start to digest the food. And if you run back in to the vet, like you said, Dee Dee, you know, they're on this hamster wheel, and the dog vomits. And so they go back in and then they're put on Pepcid and metronidazole, which is an antibiotic. And then you're never going to get them through that. So you have to have a little patience and let the pet's body do what it needs to do, as long as they're not seriously ill. If they're passing a lot of blood or vomiting, you know, 8 or 10 times a day where they can get dehydrated, or they're not drinking, you know, there's some more serious signs, but for the most part, I think we just need to let pets work through this. Just let their bodies work through it and figure it out. And I think most of them are going to come out on the other side, you're doing really well on the raw diet.
Oh, I wouldn't be feeding my dogs a raw diet. You wouldn't be feeding your dogs a raw diet if it was bad for our pets.
Right. I feed exactly what I recommend my clients feed. I mean, I have little chihuahuas, so, you know, they're not eating duck heads and stuff like that. But
it would take them a long time.
Yeah, then they're 13 and a half. They don't have all their teeth, so they probably wouldn't even gnaw through that. But, you know, they get everything else. They get the blends. They get the organ meat. I cut up the fish for them. They get a little extra tripe. You know, I rotate all this stuff in, and they're doing great.
I'll tell you a little secret. We're getting sardines back in.
Oh, now, cool.
Now, we are going to be given a limited supply at the moment. It's really weird what's going on in the oceans. And so we have the mackerel right now, which are little baby dolphin. Literally, I weigh those out. They weigh somewhere around 8 ounces. Some can weigh even more than that. So those are some big fish. So my dogs, you know, I can give them 2 fish and that's their entire meal. But the sardines are coming back in. So maybe your little guys can eat that. If you want to work with Dr. Jasek, her website is animalhealingarts.com, correct?
Yeah, well, it's AHAVET is the URL. So it's AHAVET.com. But Animal Healing Arts is the name of the practice.
Right. And Jasek is Dr. Jasek's last name. If you would like to start your dog on a raw dog food diet, go to Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business and we're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble. If you have a question, send it to us and we'll be glad to get it on the podcast. Just email me at dd@rawdogfoodandco.com or info@rawdogfoodandco.com. All right, everybody, we'll see you next week.
Oh, snap!
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap!